Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to episode 2 of Bronze Bears, a special Second City Gridiron podcast series taking a look at the 2024 Pro Football Hall of Fame class that features the inclusion of 3 Chicago Bears. My name's Jeff Berkus, and I've got some fun interviews and insights lined up to talk about Steve McMichael, Devin Hester, and Julius Peppers, plus some other Hall of Fame talk. I'll be attending the Hall of Fame game and the induction ceremony in early August with my colleague Jack Silverstein, who you're going to hear from later in this series. We're continuing our series with Devin Hester, who earned the moniker Windy City Flyer from Chicago Bears play-by-play announcer Jeff Joniak. Joniak also liked to yell out, "Devin Hester, you are ridiculous." And he was ridiculous in the best possible way. He broke the ankles of defenders while breaking the minds of announcers who could not believe that coaches would kick to him. To be honest, before I started recording this intro, I went back and watched the YouTube video of all of his return touchdowns. And then I watched it again. It's probably the 300th time I've done that. Just watch that. That's an incredible way to spend about 10 minutes of your life. And I seem to have done that many, many times. Feel free to raise your hand if you have watched that more than a dozen times like me. Devin Hester was the 57th overall pick of the 2006 NFL draft. I remember being pretty intrigued by the pick, just for the simple fact that the Bears struggled in the return game in 2005. Bobby Wade had one nice return in 2005, but you know, he really lacked any kind of juice. He was really more of a possession guy who, you know, could feel pretty comfortable that he was going to field the punt. Jerry Azuma, he handled most of the kick return duties the year before. That was actually his last year in Chicago. And those of you that remember Jerry Azuma, he wore the number 23, so he vacated that number right as Hester came into the league. Hester would, of course, make that his own, adding another Hall of Fame 23 to the city of Chicago, with, of course, Michael Jordan and Ryan Sandberg. Hester's first game in week 1 of 2006 featured the first of his 20 return touchdowns. This one, an 84-yard punt return against the Green Bay Packers, to cap off a 26-0 drubbing in what would set up to be a magical run for Chicago. He'd score 5 return touchdowns that rookie year, an almost unimaginable number, 2 kick returns and 3 punt returns, really only earning kick return duties, though, in week 13 against the Vikings. I would say it was probably the 2 kick return touchdowns against the Rams that helped convince Lovie Smith that he should probably keep doing both. Of course, he ended his rookie campaign in the Super Bowl, opening the contest with a 92-yard touchdown. It was an iconic moment for an iconic player. His second season somehow brought more return touchdowns, with a total of 6, 2 more on kick returns and 4 on punts, bringing his total to 11 regular season returns through his first two seasons. This is where it gets somewhat interesting when you're going back and looking at Devin's career, because he has a little bit of a drought, at least in terms of the touchdowns. His opportunities go down, particularly on kickoffs, as his role in the offense grows. So there's a little bit of a coaching decision there to take him off of kickoffs. He probably suffered a little bit in terms of schematics, which is something that Bill Zimmerman's going to explain later on in this episode. And then, of course, there's defenses adjusting to what Devin brings. He got back to his normal Hester ways in 2010 with another 3 punt return touchdowns and added another 3 total touchdowns in 2011. His last touchdown in a Bears uniform came in 2013, which was tying the return record. Now, this return record, I maintain that this was a made-up mark somewhere along the way, just so that Devin Hester had something to shoot for and break. But he actually does break the record in a Falcons uniform the next year in 2014. He's returning a punt for the Falcons against the Buccaneers, who were at the time coached by Lovie Smith. Deion Sanders was in the building. Deion Sanders had been Hester's mentor for much of his life. And this is, of course, in the house that Deion started his career at. So when he breaks into the open, he knows he's going to be scoring a touchdown. He high steps into the end zone, probably about 10 yards, draws a flag for taunting. But I think that you're going to take that trade-off every time. I find the beauty and the poetry, really, of starting your career with a punt return touchdown against the Packers for the Chicago Bears, and then ending it in the house that your mentor started his career off with, in front of him breaking his record for this return touchdowns against the original head coach that you had in the league. There's just things like that where you wonder if there actually are NFL script writers. For me, Hester is a singular player. The hidden value of what he brought to the Bears just by lining up for a punt or a kick return was sometimes just more impressive than what he actually did. Punting units would sky the ball high to force a fair catch. They would kick it out of bounds just to avoid a return. He just impacted the game plans of the opposing team in ways that I don't think a returner ever has before or since. In this episode, you're going to hear from Second City Gridiron's Bill Zimmerman and Lester Wiltfong talk about the greatness of Hester and why none of us are surprised that he's in Canton. I'm also, again, clipping in an excerpt of my conversation with Paul Lawrence and Kirk Buckner. These are the Hall of Fame experts that you heard from at the end of episode 1. They're going to help us put Hester's inclusion into the Hall of Fame into perspective, not only for the Bears, but for what this means for returners and what, you know, how surprised or not surprised they were and how quickly Hester was able to get into the Hall. So without any further delay, let's start it off with my conversation with Bill and Lester. All right, talking with Bill Zimmerman and Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. about Devin Hester, Hall of Famer Devin Hester. I love the fact that it didn't take that long for Devin Hester to get a guest, a couple years, and some people, if you have a Hall of Fame, you don't have Devin Hester in it, like it's not a Hall of Fame. The process is what it is. It took a couple years. I think it was an incredibly fast process to get a primary specialist into the Hall of Fame, but I also think if you're going to do it, this is the guy to do it. And they clearly got him in fast. I am old enough to have watched Devin Hester's entire career. So I'm excited for that. But you guys are both history pros of the league, history pros of the Chicago Bears. And so I want to talk about a little bit of perspective of putting Devin in as a returner. I want to talk about where he is in the pantheon of the Bears and all that stuff. But let's just start off with the excitement that is Devin Hester. What sticks out to you in your memory of Devin Hester? Lester, let's start with you.
You know, I don't think I've ever been as excited at watching a football game than I was in the Super Bowl, you know, watching Devin Hester take that touchdown back. I mean, I get pretty animated watching the game. I mean, I'm always at home. I was like up on my feet. I was screaming and yelling. That was probably the most excited I've ever been watching the Bears play a football game. And I'm talking to 85, but I'm talking to all of it. That was fantastic. I knew right then and there was no way in hell the Bears were going to lose that game. But then, of course, they went ahead and lost that game.
Yeah, you shut the TV off and just assume everything went to plan.
I was ready. I mean, I could have at that point. I mean, it was just such a euphoric feeling having them take it back. You're like, why would they kick Devin Hester? And of course, the stories have been told, you know, since then, Tony Dungy, what, you know, made a really stupid decision that he stopped doing. But man, that was just such a fantastic moment. And you know, it was his whole career is moments. I mean, highlight after highlight after highlight. But that one return right there, that's probably the most excited I've ever been watching the Bears.
Phil, same question to you.
I would say the one that always stands out for me, and it wasn't just Hester, it was a collective effort with Brian Urlacher, is the Arizona Cardinals. You know, they are who we thought they were, Dennis Green, famous line. That's the game that always jumps to me because, to me, that game encapsulates what Devin Hester is. And again, it was partnered with a very good Chicago Bears defense that could find the end zone. But the Chicago Bears won a football game with their offense doing literally nothing. Literally nothing. I always tell the famous story. That Arizona Cardinals game was a Monday Night Football game. I was playing my brother in fantasy football. I had a lead going into that game, but I was playing Rex Grossman and Mushin Muhammad. So I was like, why do I need to bench guys? I'm just going to pad my lead. I think Mushin Muhammad had one catch for 2 yards, so he had 0 points, and Rex Grossman had -7, and I lost by 5. It's like the offense was that putrid against Arizona, but Devin Hester and just watching him, it was just, it was poetry on the field. Just, he would just kind of do that hip shake and then he was gone. And I mean, his first game ever, he returns a punt for a touchdown against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, the legend was born at that point. He was so electric with the football. You make the joke, but it's true. And it's not just true for fans. It like trickled down to like the coaches and everything. They knew about it, that kick returns and punt returns were must-see TV. People wanted to just watch Devin Hester. The sidelines wanted to watch Devin Hester. They wouldn't go and get their Gatorade or whatever until after the play because they wanted to see it. You couldn't get in the beer line or go to the bathroom line or get up from the television because Devin Hester was on the field. He was so fun. And like the stats are incredible, but the stats don't compare to the electricity that he put in the stadium.
Well, to your point, there's, you know, a clip out there of Urlacher where he's running off the field after a third down stop. And then he turns around right on the sideline and he's watching and he's like, he's just so excited to watch Devin Hester return a kick. But then even more than that, it's not just the guys that want to watch. It was the guys that wanted to block for him. They wanted to be out on the field. So you would have starting corners that a lot of times would beg off on special teams and let somebody else take those reps. They would stay on the field because they wanted to be on the field to block and potentially spring him for more of these big, big returns, right? I mean, I know Tillman was part of that too, where he would stay on the field to do that. Have you ever experienced anything like that in your watching days of players being that excited for a specialist or that excited to want to take extra reps to try to help spring him, Lester?
Yeah, I think part of that points to Lovie Smith. You know, he always was a guy that obviously valued defense, you know, being a defensive guy, but he always talked about a third phase, special teams. He always made that, put the importance on that as well. So, you know, I can't think of a lot of other teams that would put their starters on that many special teams. I mean, there's a few guys that always do it, but those Lovie Smith years, you know, Urlacher, Tillman, like you said, you know, these guys are the Pro Bowl players. They're out there putting in the special teams reps because they want to be out there. And like you said, Devin Hester, who wouldn't want to be on the field when he's scoring these touchdowns? He's just a fantastic talent, you know, and, you know, there's other things to be said about his receiving career, which I think is underrated. But Hester, yeah, definitely deserved to be in. I'm glad it did not take as long as a lot of fans thought it would. You know, I would not have been shocked if he was a first ballot guy, but, you know, there's still that stigma, obviously, with special teams. You know, they had to make him sit and wait and earn it, you know, because that's not a real position, a returner. But, you know, like Bill said, he impacted the game in so many ways.
Well, I want to go back to the draft. So, you know, I don't know what your guys' role was back when Devin Hester was drafted, but obviously it was positionless. They drafted him. They knew they wanted him to be on returns to some degree, but was he going to play on defense? Was he going to play on offense? And they weren't really quite sure yet. So, you know, can you remember a player that had that designation in the last 50 years where you weren't quite sure what position he might settle in at. And two, this was a high pick. This almost feels like when you are playing NCAA football, the video game, and you recruit an athlete and you just decide to which position to put him in. This was this, but like on a professional team, right? So Bill, do you remember this draft and what were you feeling when they took an athlete and said, yeah, he's going to return some kicks for us?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the draft. I believe I was working at the Score at the time in Chicago. And I will be honest, I remember enough. I don't remember, like, I can't say where I was when the pick was made, but I remember enough when the pick was made to kind of go, like, I wasn't into the pick. I can fully admit that because let's put it this way. If Devin Hester was just a good special teams player, made a couple Pro Bowls, you know, it was like Glenn Milburn, you know, Mel Hall, like at that level, those are some great returners. That's a weird pick in the second round to make. But because he becomes legendary and becomes the greatest special teams player of all time, it doesn't matter. It becomes a great selection. And that's where I was weird, because I was like, I don't understand where Devin Hester is going to fit on an NFL football field. The Bears did. So full credit to them that they knew that. And they tried him at corner, and corner didn't work. Obviously, we know they tried him at wide receiver, a little more success there, but certainly not a successful stint at wide receiver. And my response to that, Jeff, is always Mariano Rivera. And what I mean by that is Mariano Rivera failed in Major League Baseball as a starting pitcher, but became the greatest closer of all time, which is a niche thing within baseball. It's not exactly special teams, but it's kind of similar. You're just going out there for an inning and you're dominating. And Mariano Rivera did that better than anybody, but he failed first as a starting pitcher. So saying, and that always bothered me about the Hall of Fame, when they're like, well, he's a special teams player. He didn't play offense or defense or anything. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't matter. He is not up there to say, well, how was he as a cornerback and a wide receiver as well? That doesn't matter. That's insignificant. We're looking at special teams where, you know, Adam Vinatieri's going to get in, Jan Stenerud's gotten in, Ray Guy's gotten in. Returners are no different, and he's the greatest one to ever do it. So that always bothered me that he failed in other areas. Well, so did a lot of other people. You know, Dale Murphy failed as a catcher before he hit 400 home runs in right field for the Atlanta Braves. So you can cite plenty of things like that, but what he did on special teams was, you know, and I could say this will never happen again. One, because you have a hard time getting a punt returner and kick returner as the same person. They're two different jobs. And two, how punting has changed with these high booming placement kicks. You're not going to have punt returners getting opportunities like Hester. This kick return coming up, the changes this year, I don't think you'll ever be able to compare kick returners after this rule change to kick returners before this rule change. It's now going to be a totally different play. I like that they're trying to save kick returns, but it won't be the same. So if someone gets six kick return touchdowns this year, it's going to be because of the rule, not to say they are a better kick returner than Devin Hester.
I mean, it's an excellent point. It's one that I've really thought about. You know, this class is so meaningful in so many different ways for the Chicago Bears, but just like very specific to Hester, this comes the year that they're tweaking the rule. And this rule may be tweaked further. There may be more incentives for kickoff teams to try to not kick touchbacks. And, you know, maybe the touchback gets moved even further up. So they're going to try to put that ball in play. But there's going to be more touchdowns, right? And so, you know, in a few years, when you start looking back, you're like, oh, man, is this Hester kick return record really that impressive? Because this guy has a ton. Right. Well, it's the rule change is really going to push that. Right. And we've seen that through football for decades. Right. All of these rule changes, incremental rule changes that come along the time. Yes, players are getting better at passing the football and wide receivers are becoming more prominent, but the middle of the field is now open. Right. And now you have, you know, much higher passing numbers than you did in previous eras. A lot of that is due to rule changes, not necessarily just the players, and, you know, more games helps too. Lester, I want to talk about this idea of Hester playing offense. And what's interesting to me is you look back, they tried to make him a wide receiver one. That was a mistake for, you know, just Chicago Bears thinking they are what they are, but they paid him a lot of money. and they wanted to justify the contract. So that was sort of part of this justification, not just being like, well, he's an amazing returner, we're going to keep him there. And you know, we're going to use him on offense, and that's how he's going to justify his salary. He's like, no, he's our wide receiver one. Now he probably honestly fell short of some of those expectations. But I also want to talk about this idea that because they played him as the wide receiver one and he was getting so many of those reps, they took him off the field a little bit on some of these returns. You look at the number of returns that he had in his career, they go down because he wasn't getting as many opportunities. They weren't sending him back there as much. So, you know, did the Bears play his career in the most correct way?
I've always thought they mismanaged how they used Devin Hester. And like you said, because of the money, you know, they had to justify it. I mean, is that the Bears' way of thinking? Is that everyone wants to say, oh, the Bears are cheap, and so they have to justify the money? But you know, that's pretty much how all teams operate. If you're going to pay a guy that kind of money, you got to get the value out of him. I mean, the Bears, in hindsight, you know, even back then, I always thought they should have just, look, Devin Hester, he's your kick returner, he's your punt returner. He should be your slot receiver. He should be your number three or your gadget guy. I mean, there was no reason why the Bears couldn't have, you know, had him all that money, because just the return aspect of it, I forget who ran the numbers, but someone did the numbers where they showed all the hidden yards lost through the years of all these punts, teams punting away from Hester. You know, it was he had a lot of great returns, but there were also so many times where the other team just said, you know, we're going to punt this out of bounds. You know, we do not want to give him a chance to return this. So all those hidden yards because of Devin Hester, it was such a benefit to the defense. So if you really had to justify the money, you could have done it with that. You could have done it with returns. And then if he was used sporadically on offense as your number three, occasionally in the backfield, maybe, you know, some reverses, some sweep stuff like that, you know, I think you could have got the value out of the contract that way. But yeah, they mismanaged him. He was never a number one, but you know, you go back and look at some of those highlights as a receiver, there were some pretty good moments out there as well.
Well, the joke that I remember was that they should just put the long snapper in, or put Pat Manley in, and they should just long snap a ball to Hester and have him start, like, you know, 15 yards deep. That should be their offense. In some games, that may have been led to better results than what the Bears offense was able to do. Bill, is there been another NFL football player that has had a walk-up song?
Ah, man. I mean, not that I can think of. I mean, closers in baseball, a lot of them have songs, but yeah, the fact when Soldier Boy started playing at Soldier Field, the whole 55,000-60,000 people, whatever it is, would just get up and get excited. Hester starts dancing back there at the goal line. The fact that existed makes it so fun and so special, because it's so unique. I mean, what he brought to the field is so unique. Like, I always heard this story, and I will start by saying I don't know how true this is, but I heard this story from someone else in the media, so it probably has at least some truth to it. So Hester had those first a couple amazing seasons, and then he had a couple lulls. They, you know, just the punt returns weren't what they were, and then they got good again. And a lot of people always want to know what happened then. Well, from what I heard, the Bears put in a bunch of special plays on special teams because they thought it would make Hester an even more dangerous returner. And he really struggled trying to execute those punt return plays. It's not how he played. And the coaches like pulled him aside, like, what's going on here? He goes, I am 100% an instinctual runner. I basically just run in what I see, where I see the colors, I run away from them. Like, basically that simple. It's just like, I just use my speed and athleticism, and it's just instinctual where I need to go. And he goes, I'm trying to run a play, and it's not, you know, what I do. So they went back to what was working before, and it started working again. And that's who I think Devin Hester was, where he was this electric personality that everyone gravitated for with Soldier Boy and everything. But he was, we've all played backyard football, right? And everyone in backyard football, there was that one athlete that, you know, if you were playing tackle football, you're like, oh man, I don't know if we're going to be able to tackle him, because like it's 5-on-5 or whatever you're playing. And he was too good in the open field. That's not the guy you want executing a play behind the line of scrimmage. You just let him get out there and just be himself. And that was Devin Hester. It was not, And I think part of the reason why he struggled on offense and everything is because he was just a backyard football player his entire career. And he was better at it than, including Deion Sanders, he was better at it than anyone that's ever played the sport of football. And the Bears, at a couple different occasions, tried to take that out of him, and it failed. And when they said, go back to being you, he showed just how good he was at being that special returner.
I mean, 100% believable. I mean, even if that's a made up story, I think that it has so many true markers in it that it feels 100% accurate. Right. I think we've all probably played with guys that were like that, that, you know, they look at the playbook and they're like, what are we doing here? I don't, you know, because you start thinking, right, and not playing off reaction. You're not playing fast anymore. And so if he's trying to hit a spot at a certain moment or trying to have a block, no, just let him see the field. I've heard actually Adrian Peterson, you know, the Vikings running back, not the Bears running back, but Adrian Peterson talk about running away from color, and that being a lot of running backs share that as well, which makes sense. Because, you know, running back kicks and punts is going to be similar to negotiating that traffic and just trying to run away from color. I wrote an entire article series about who had the championship belt, and I gave walk-up music to every player that had the belt. And it was inspired by the fact that Devin Hester had a walk-up song. And I just find it, like you said, with closers, and I think that's exactly, a closer can be a kind of a niche thing, but there's almost like an aura around them, right? Like, you know, even recently with Edwin Diaz and the Mets and that really cool kind of trumpet song. I don't know what the song's called, but there's a really cool walk-up song for him to come out. And you go to a Major League Baseball game and most of the established closers have some kind of walk-up song. A lot of the hitters have walk-up music that they approach to, but I've just never heard it on a football field. And I find it to be like a fascinating point that Devin Hester was just so amazing and electric that everybody knew what his walk-up song was, and it just gets everybody pumped up and it just rises the energy in the building to a point that I just don't know that has existed at any other time for the Bears.
And I think it's an intimidation thing as well. Like when Enter Sandman played for the Yankees, that other team was in the dugout going, "Ugh, we got to beat Mariano Rivera." When Soulja Boy started playing, you know, that sideline was going, "Oh,
got in their head."
They were sitting there going, "Just kick it out of bounds. Don't do it." And you know, cause it would just give you that uneasy feeling because you knew something bad could happen at any moment.
Yeah, you know, Lesser, Bill made the point about, you know, at the draft, when you take a guy like Hester that early and you're thinking like, even if this guy's a Pro Bowler, like, how do you justify this kind of capital? And I feel like we just had that conversation with the current Bears draft class with Torrey Taylor. Like, how do you take a special team? How do you take a punter in the fourth round? Like, how does that even work? And again, another comment that Bill made about how punting has evolved. And I think we, you know, that's a whole thing. But I think that the Hall of Fame saying, yes, like, we want to put in Devin Hester as a specialist, as a returner, this is a big deal. I think that this is historic for the league. And I think it's amazing that the original franchise gets the guy that they deem worthy of as a returner.
I think it definitely opens a door now for other guys. I think a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, he has a pretty good argument to make that he could be in as a specialist as well. You know, I think there's other guys, you know, through the years that have done it at a pretty high level that maybe now they may get, you know, another look, you know, from these guys. But, you know, go back to the draft. I remember that draft as well, and there was no first-round pick that year for the Bears, right? And it was Daniel Manning went in the second round. And I'm like, Daniel Manning, who is this guy? Small school guy. And that was back when I first started doing some writing stuff. I was first starting to blog. So I was into the draft, but, you know, I started writing and then going into more detail. And I'm like, Daniel Manning, what are we doing? And then the Hester pick too. I'm like, why are they thinking a guy like this? You know, he's not a very good corner. He's going to return some kicks. Who cares? You know, And look what happened. I mean, greatest of all time to ever do it, and Hall of Fame, and, you know, one of the top 100 Bears ever.
Yeah, and if Torrey Taylor is good, people are going to look back on it and go, fourth round pick for a good punter. But if Torrey Taylor is a perennial All Pro, it won't matter. Nope. And that's, if you hit on a pick, it doesn't matter when you took them. It won't matter. But if you miss, and you miss on that high priority pick of first, second round pick, it looks bad. And like I said, and Lester said here, that Hester pick was a little bit of a questionable one, but you know, when you look back on it now, you can sit there and say, well, that was a home run pick. And that's what I say, like my favorite, and this always made me feel a little better as Devin Hester returner, is because I didn't see this play live, but I think it's still on YouTube. If you Google Devin Hester Duke and see his punt return against Duke, and I understand Duke football in the, you know, whatever it was, the early 2000s was dreadful. But if you just find that punt return on YouTube, it is the greatest play in football history. He broke so many tackles. He's going backwards every direction. It looks like Tecmo Bowl where the players are just flying off him. It was next level. So I remember I watched that and went, he's really good. So maybe there's something there. But yeah, in the moment, it was a questionable pick.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, that was Bill Zimmerman and Lester Wiltfong. Let's move over to an excerpt of my conversation with Paul Lawrence and Kirk Buckner.
For us to talk about Devin Hester, who was an incredibly important part of that team, sort of this rookie sensation that came in. They drafted a guy where they're like, we're not sure if we're going to play him at corner. We're not sure if we're going to play him at wide receiver. We know we want him to return kicks. We don't know what this guy does, but we think he's really good. And so just from the perspective of what does this mean for the Hall of Fame that they are willing to put in a guy like Devin Hester? And Paul, I'll start with you. This is a guy who's basically in because he's the greatest return man of all time.
Yeah, so I think it is a historic event to have the Hall and the voters recognize, again, as you mentioned, a guy who's primarily known as a kick punt returner. Keeping in mind that, you know, when he was first on the ballot, his first year in the ballot 3 years ago, he actually made it to the finalists at around the 15 finalists. No previous kick returner had ever gotten that far in the process. So that alone was historic. Now, the next year, I think he fell off the process a little bit. And of course, this year he was elected. And yeah, that's a huge shift in the mindset. I think for many, many decades, and you think of the voting back in the 70s and 80s and even in the 90s, there were fewer voters. They had a different view on the game. There's certainly, and we can think of kick returners historically, guys like Rich Upchurch and Billy White Shoes Johnson, that at least should have been considered. They never made it into a semifinalist. The semifinalist round started in the early 2000s. And they never made it as finalists. So it is a huge shift to think that they've made that understanding of how important and the impact he had on the game. And as you mentioned, I think the consensus is that he's the greatest at that position. And we're electing players into the Hall of Fame who should represent all those positions. I mean, Ray Guy was the first punter in. No one else has gotten in there, and he got in through a senior route. There are only, I think, three pure kickers in the Hall of Fame. There will be some more coming in the near future, I suspect. But this is historic, and I think people also need to realize, I mean, I think what going into this, a lot of us who follow the Hall and understand the voters can appreciate that he had a really good chance, and he deserved it. But getting in 3 years is also, I think, a really significant thing, because this they could have mulled over and discussed the merits of that position versus other very good candidates who've been finalists, including this past year. And to see him get in such a quick manner, people may not view it that way. Some thought he should have been first ballot. But it's a tremendous move forward in the voters thinking about the full game and how it's played and the importance of guys like Hester.
Kirk, let me ask that question to you. Do you think that this impacts any specific players down the road that may be the best at a specific position, maybe like fullbacks, like how many fullbacks are in, or is there more specialists that we might see down the road that this maybe opens up for, or is Devin Hester like a really singular case, electric type of person that just it's a case on to itself and doesn't necessarily mean anything moving forward?
I lean more towards that. I want to sort of believe that this could open the doors for some other possible candidates. But realistically, I think when that happens in the future, it might even be for a different type of position that may not even exist yet. As I wonder if people were sort of look like 50 years from now and someone's just getting into football and they're looking at all these Hall of Famers and they look at Devin Hester and they're going to say, a returner? What's a returner? Because we're seeing that almost getting phased out completely. And I hope that more than anything, that at least now everything that he did is on video and can always be captured, you know, thankfully. But I do think that this is an outlier. I don't think this actually helps anybody. But I'm thrilled that he got in. He deserves it. And if you're in that 100th anniversary team, you have to be here and you have to be there almost immediately.
Paul, what do you think the argument for Devin Hester, what was the most persuasive argument for Devin Hester? Was it the numbers base where, you know, when we were watching this live as fans over the years, they would show these graphics, right? And it would say like punt return touchdowns, kick return touchdowns. And then it felt like they created a new category for Devin Hester, which was return touchdowns, because he had already surpassed the combined punt and kick returns. And then so it was like Deion Sanders was like the top of this list because it was interceptions returned for touchdowns. And it just seemed like they created a new category just for Devin Hester to try to break. Was it a numbers-based thing? Was it the vibe, the fact that everybody from the sidelines was standing, you know, there's great Urlacher quotes where he'd come off the field and he'd watch, right? Or that there was guys that like really wanted to block for him, like Tillman wanted to be on teams so that he could block and try to spring Hester. What, you know, was it like a narrative argument? Was it a numbers argument? Was it just like the vibe? What do you think kind of carried him?
So I think the narrative is a strong one, and a lot of good, strong candidates, you can build a narrative around the impact they had, how their teammates and their peer players felt about them, how their coaches and people who had to play and coach against them. I think that's all something that's built into the so-called Hall of Famer resume. And I think he has a very strong, as you mentioned, some examples of how that narrative plays out. But I'm not so sure that a lot of players can build a case strong enough to be elected. And the narrative's great, but it may not be enough. And you touched upon, I think, the other factor. You know, it's a stats number game. Often some of the voters just want to look at that and say, at that particular position, I can judge their impact, certainly before we kind of look at analytics in this day and age, in terms of numbers. That's probably one of the reasons why, for example, interior offensive linemen sort of get the short draft, because there's not much numbers to look at least historically, in terms of how they perform. And you're right. I mean, I recall that kind of shift in that mindset about what Jack just referred to as non-offensive touchdowns, which is kind of a funny terminology, but that's what we're talking about. And he set the bar so high, right, and so much above other players before him, that's a that's a number that people can really attach to, and I'm sure was another along with the narrative that puts together a resume that the voters just simply could not ignore. It's there, and we need to take account for it and appreciate it. And it's really how he makes a well-rounded case. And we're talking about a process to get to 25 and then get to be 15 finalists and get in that room and have your case discussed in front of the 50 voters. And you have to have that complete case, and he certainly had one.
Kirk, I want to talk about those numbers. And I think that this is actually a wonderful year for Devin Hester to get in because the rules are changing.
Yeah,
we're going to get a brand new kickoff rule this year. And I think the anticipation is we're going to see a lot more returns, and we're potentially going to see a lot more return touchdowns. And so we could be sitting here in 10 years talking about, you know, who knows who that has piled a bunch of kick return touchdowns because of these new kickoff rules, just because of the volume may have increased so much. And so I find this to be an important moment that we're honoring Devin Hester. And in a way, we're trying to bring back the kickoff return that he in part made so electric and famous. You know, he had walk-up music. I mean, how many kick returners have a song that they come out to that, you know, everybody knows that they're going to play? I think he's the only guy that I know of. Right. So is there some kind of, what are you watching for with this new rule change? Is there some kind of thing that you think might shift in the numbers that may have eroded some of this if we would have waited longer, or are you not there?
We'll see how long it lasts, because player safety is a huge concern of the National Football League. So I love the excitements of the kickoff. I don't know how this is going to progress. If I could just say one more thing about Hester, I'm kind of going to segue just to another sport, baseball. Hester gave me Barry Bonds, San Francisco Giants vibes. Like, you would rather intentionally walk him with bases loaded and bring the tying run and have the tying run at third than trying to kick to Hester. You want it before that. You're thinking, okay, how are we going to stop the kick returner or punt returner? With Hester, it's like, how do we avoid kicking the ball anywhere near his direction? He changed how special teams coordinators thought. And there's very few NFL players who could ever say that. Very few players, period, in any sport. That, to me, is his legacy.
Yeah, I think I've heard a lot of people say he changed the game, but to me, he's not necessarily changed the game. He just did it better than anybody else. They had to approach him differently than anybody else, right? So I guess if that's your definition of change the game, then maybe. But to me, it's more he just did it better than anybody else, where people don't kick the Devin Hester. What do you do? Like, announcers are like yelling at the field, like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Why are you doing this? Kornheiser, when he was that Monday night game against Arizona, like, what are you doing? Why? I don't understand. Why would you kick to him? Right. Such a unique athlete in that regard. All right. Thank you so much to Bill, Lester, Paul, and Kirk. Great conversation. And thank you for listening to Bronze Bears. The next episode is going to focus on Julius Peppers, the first ballot Hall of Famer who played four impressive seasons for the Chicago Bears. Until next time, Bear Down.
Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.